Welcome to the experience.
Left channel. Right channel.
Welcome to the experience.
Left channel. Right channel.
Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to the Candle Shore podcast. This is show number 14. The title of today's show is Mark on Dating, Part 3, The Phone Call. Before we get started, let me give a couple of, do some house cleaning here. One, the target audience that we're going for the most part, is 21 years old and up. Some younger listeners may find some value in it, but again, I'm really thinking 21 and 24 and up should find some value. Regarding gays, lesbians, men, and women, I want you to know that I will be assuming everybody. My conversations will be addressing, for the most part, heterosexuals, male and female relationships, and I'll be referring to husbands and wives instead of partners. So just to get that out of the way, there you go. Before we get started in this part three, which is the phone call, I want to review what we've covered in the first two parts, and I'll just run through a list of these things that are to prepare you to get ready for the phone calls. So here we go. You must trust, let's see what we got here. You must like and trust members of the opposite sex. That's very important. Be financially, physically, mentally, and emotionally ready. You must like yourself. Do not date in order to be rescued. Please don't do that one. You need to get excited about the idea of meeting someone new. Let go of the past. Become young in your heart. That's a good one. Determine the goals of why you're dating, whether you want to be dating just for fun, which is to, you know, entertainment, going out, enjoying a nice evening, or in order to find a husband or wife, or to find a travel partner. Of course, that probably wouldn't be dating, but you get the idea. Understand the goal. Let's see. Tell everyone you know that you are seeking a husband or wife, and ask for help. That can be hard for some people, but it is a good idea. If you see someone you like, go out of your way to, you know, strike up a conversation with them and show definite interest. Let's see, stop being lazy and join a club, be it a social club or other activities. If you have enough money for it, go ahead and sign up for a matchmaking service. Explore online dating. But only use sites that require other members to pay a fee, including yourself, and only respond to profiles that have accompanying photos. Make a list of 10 characteristics that you like about yourself, and read the list before bed every night. And remember that no matter what Hollywood says, for most of us, love will not find us. We have to find love. So there's a short review of what we've covered in the parts 1 and 2. And I hope you find those useful. Now, this next part is something I find very difficult to determine. I didn't know if we were going to do this part 3 about phone calls or about first dates. And I've been trying to figure out which would be the best approach, because obviously, if you're doing online dating, then there really would be a phone call. And, of course, if you do, I'll call it conventional dating, then you would already know what the person looks like and hopefully would have had a few conversations. So what I've decided to do is to just assume that you've met someone, just to give you an example, let's say it's a waitress or a waiter, I guess, and you say, oh, you know, my name is so-and-so, maybe we can get together and go out sometime, and you exchange phone numbers and you start the process. So whether this phone call is the result of online dating or the exchange of numbers, we're going to pick it up from there. And I hope this fits. I can't obviously give you a starting point for every scenario, but I think this will probably be the best one for me to start with and hopefully for you too. Okay? So with that in mind, let's start with giving out numbers. Now what I wrote down here, I make notes to help focus my thoughts as we go through the podcast, through the show. And one thing I wrote, it says, never give your phone number to someone who will not do the same. Well, again, we're really approaching the idea of if it's online and you're emailing each other and someone offers their phone number, it's a good idea to get a phone number in return. This may not be as easy, of course, if you're meeting someone in person. Again, someone who works at a clothier's or in a supermarket or however you might meet them, of course, traditionally speaking, typically someone doesn't say, okay, here's my phone number, what's your phone number? But whatever the case is, generally speaking, and since the statistics are showing that more and more people are dating online, I'm going to go with the idea and state that if you do meet someone online and you get to a point where you want to talk on the phone, it's a good idea to be very, be careful about people who don't want to give out their phone numbers. About that. Now, I'm going to digress just a little bit here to you guys. Some women online may not want to give out their phone numbers, and they want only you to give your phone number. If you think that's okay, that's fine. However, I'll tell you that, you know, some ladies like to claim it's very risky for them, and they don't want to take a chance. But, you know, there's risk in everything, and I think it's a good idea for men and women to share the risk together. And let me tell you from personal experience, after having been stalked by one or two women in my time, women can be just as dangerous as men if you get the wrong one. So this thing about, you know, women being more at risk with the exchange of phone numbers than men, I personally disagree with it because, again, I've been on the other side of it. Statistically, it probably doesn't happen as much, but I really do believe in reciprocity in all things. So I think exchanging phone numbers is probably best if you're doing it online. What's a valid contact number? Well, let me tell you something. Do not accept only pager numbers from people. That is a bad idea. I hate to say it, but we live in a world where everyone's trying to Zoom everyone else, or many people are trying to Zoom everyone else, not all people. And it has happened to some friend of mine, male and female. It's happened to me once or twice. Somebody will give you a pager number, and it turns out that they're married or living with someone. So I usually stick with the rule of thumb is if you can't get someone's home number, their landline number, then be careful and start to wonder. I typically, in the old days, wouldn't even call anybody back if I couldn't get a regular number. Now, there are some people who have a cell, because it's cheaper and I guess more convenient, they use a cell phone number as their only phone, so they keep it. They don't have a landline in the traditional sense. And although I've come across that, and it can be legitimate, typically I'd say it's most often still not. So if that's true, then if they say that's the only number they have, fine. But you want to really get to know this person fast to determine whether they're just trying to scam you or the person they're with. Be very, very careful. And obviously the rules that I state here that I like to live by cannot apply to everyone in all situations. But typically speaking, I think landlines are the best, even if you don't use it very much. And for those people who do use cell phones as their primary number, understand that if someone doesn't want to take a chance on it, you know, you just got to go with it. It's just we live in a time where we really do have to be careful, men and women alike, okay? So there you go. That's Mark on cell phones for contact numbers. So what do you want to accomplish in a first phone call? Well, again, we're going on the assumption that you haven't had much time to talk to someone. You may have seen them in a restaurant or, again, however you met them. So you don't really, you know, you're not going to determine whether you want to marry this person or not in the first phone call. What you're really looking for here is some chemistry, the demeanor of the person, and it's very fair to say that some people just don't come across well on the phone, and some people actually do better on the phone than they do in person. So, again, this is not a do-or-die scenario, but and a step and a requirement. However, you can get a feel for someone on the telephone for a first conversation. Listen to the words that they use. Do they cuss or curse, however you want to say it? Do they use a lot of slang and speak in the vernacular? Are they considerate when you when you're speaking to them? That is to say, do they let you speak, finish your words, finish your sentences? A lot of loud noises in the background. I've talked to people over in my lifetime, women, where you're talking to them, but there's a television going on in the back, and it's, you know, it's just one of those things that irritates me, and it, to me, it's kind of sloppy. So if someone's doing that, it doesn't make a very good impression. If a show is that important, a television show is that important, then the person should be watching TV instead of talking on the phone. I've never understood people who answer the phone when they're busy doing something else and they really can't talk, unless of course it's an emergency or they think it's someone else. But I would rather have a person say, you know, I'm doing something, can you please call me back or call back also. So keep that in mind, you know, the noise. Now, of course, if they have children, that's a different scenario. Obviously, if you're dealing with parents, it's a little bit different. But I'm assuming that the person has the ability to walk out of a room or has the class to turn the TV set, radio, music down, whatever's going on. So you kind of look for these things. They're kind of their online, you know, their phone personality. So this is what you're going to really accomplish minimally in a first conversation. This is not going to be the do-all, end-all, okay? So just going to keep it light, going to keep it simple, and try to get a feel for where you can go in the future, okay? Please do not call someone or receive a call from someone and expect them to quote-unquote impress you. This has happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to a lot of people where you get on the phone, you're talking to someone, and they just absolutely silent. Or they ask one question and expect you to carry the rest of the conversation. I don't like lazy people, typically. You really want to deal with someone who is enthusiastic and who is interested in answering as many questions as they ask. And so you want to look for that. These are the kinds of things you're looking for in a conversation, in a phone call from someone. Who calls whom? This is kind of an interesting one. Dr. Laura would tell you that it's always the man's role to call the female, the woman. I don't know if I believe in that completely or not. My answer is whoever wants to talk first. You know, we're moving into an area where traditions, while they're still followed, are not all that widespread or common. So it would be unfortunate for, let's say, a guy who comes from one background who doesn't share the traditional, let's say, Midwest American philosophy, you know, the traditional, I'll call the girl, and she's not to call me. And you got a girl who expects tradition. So I think since we have so many more people coming from greater diversity, we have to be a little bit more understanding and a little bit more open about what we expect in terms of phone calls and behavior. So if a girl would say to me, you know, Mark, I'm the kind of girl that would prefer you call me until I feel more comfortable, that's one thing. That's okay. But it would be her responsibility to tell me that, because I may assume that she is, quote-unquote, you know, a modern female who wants to share the responsibility. Likewise, I might tell some girl, yeah, I will call you once or twice, but I expect you to return the call or return the favor just like I do. Maybe not the first call, but at some point. So it's very important that expectations be stated right up front. That way people, because otherwise you're going to end up misreading each other as either a lack of interest or lack of class. So it's the most important thing here, and I hate to use this word, but it is relevant in this situation. You want to really have an open communication, certainly at the beginning, because again, we have that great divide now. We're all coming from different parts of the country, the world, and we have to set up some kind of common understanding so that we don't misread each other. When do you make the first call? If you get someone's phone number, or someone takes your phone number, typically I say not the same day. I don't know if this is just a Mark thing, a guy thing. I don't know what it is, but there's something about people who are just too enthusiastic at first. It puts me a little bit on alert, certainly the first time. I don't know why. It may just be, and when I was younger, I certainly didn't worry about these rules, but as an older man, middle-aged man, I would say typically, you know, the next day, maybe the next 2 days. You don't want to wait too long either, because you know, you got to get a feel for, you know who you are and what feels right. But definitely try to wait at least 24 hours. or before you make a phone call, okay? And as far as answering machines go, typically speaking, at most, I would leave two messages. Sometimes answering machines aren't perfect, and you may think you left a message when you didn't, or you didn't speak loudly. Many occasions, people have called me and they speak so quietly and so slowly that one, I couldn't make out the phone number, or the answer machine cut them off because they weren't speaking loudly enough and it thought the call had ended. So, two messages, with a phone number that I would state twice slowly. If they didn't return the call after that, I would most likely, in fact, I guarantee you, I would assume that they're way too busy or simply not interested. Sometimes people do respond in person or even in emails, and then they have a second thought about it, like, maybe I moved the wrong way or I shouldn't have done it. You don't want to press anyone, so two messages, no more, okay? I suggest that you have a list of questions that you want to ask the other person. Now, it's not important that you get all these answers in one conversation. That's just ridiculous. And you certainly want to make sure that for every question that you ask, that you also answer. And I think you have a right to expect that from the other party. Remember that no one likes to be interrogated. And I've actually been on conversations with people, women. When I talk about me in conversations, make sure you understand it's always been with women, okay? But anyway, where a woman would ask me a question, right after the other, boom, 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 boom. No one likes to be interrogated. Beware of people who defer answers to a later time. That is a huge red flag to me. Case in point, if you say, and I've actually experience this. You say, do you have any children? And the answer may come back as, well, we'll talk about that some other time. Or let's talk about that later after we know each other better. And I got this red flag, red alert comes right up, like, what's going on? And for me personally, I give someone maybe two get out of jail free cards. That is to say, I will allow them to defer an answer only two questions. Anything beyond that, and I'm not trusting them, I think there's something shady going on. It's really that simple. And I guarantee you that I will have those questions answered in our next conversation or on the first date, or I simply am no longer interested. So beware of people who do that and want to defer an answer. Answer the questions right out, okay? I think a good idea in conversations on telephones or when you're setting up a first date or if you're interested in dating someone, is to ask questions that would be pertinent for a first date, such as, what do you like to do on a first date? Or what do you find fun? Or what don't you like? I gotta tell you, I've talked to so many people in my lifetime, and some people have been very talkative and had no problem telling me what their likes, dislikes, their expectations, what they want. And some, you have to really dig to get the information out because they're very bashful. And hopefully, if you have some confidence in yourself, you can do this. It's not easy, but it can be done. Typically speaking, I like to learn more about someone on the first, second phone calls because as people begin to talk about themselves, they tend to relax. And I think sometimes, certainly I've heard of several of my female friends tell me that when they talk to a guy, all he wants to do is talk about himself. That's the way men, that's the way we kind of impress women by talking about what we've accomplished. So I understand if you're a guy and you want to impress somebody and you make good money, you have a good job, that's the way we measure our self-esteem. So a little understanding on both sides about these things. So just keep that in mind. Moving on, beware of people who talk about sex, sexual issues, sexual desires in the first, second phone calls. I personally find it distasteful. If I had a penny for every woman that's attempted this with me, I'd be a rich man today. And I'm telling you ladies out there that I know that, Hollywood tells you, the magazines tell you that, men are we're really interested in, or one of the things that will make us interested in you is, sex or something related to sex. And I'm telling you that men of quality, that is not the first thing on their minds. if you're 18, I guess it's true. Again, this is why I'm thinking about this, this talk is really for slightly older people. I just don't like it when people come out and talking about sex the first, second conversations. I've had women ask me questions that I've just couldn't believe it. Just couldn't. I won't get into the real, this is a family podcast, so I won't get into graphic details, but let me just say that some women I've talked to have, asked me questions that dealt with, let's just say stamina and measurements and just graphic, disgusting things. And they did it thinking that I'd have no problem talking about it. And when I asked them, why would you ask these questions, I've had the answer from them that a lot of guys like talking about it. Maybe they do. I mean, I'm not the world's guardian. But I can tell you that I think, and I'm speaking on the friends that I have, men, and my own life experience, that although guys will talk to you about anything, ladies, we won't just marry anybody. You know, typically speaking, you know, if we feel that you're talking to us about these kinds of things, then if we start dating you, we're going to think you're talking about any guy about the same exact things. So, obviously, some things need to be discussed. I just don't necessarily think that the first date is the way to do it. Women who have done it with me rarely, I can honestly tell you, have never gotten a second phone call and certainly didn't have a second date with me if they did it on the first date even. I simply think there are more important things, more relevant things that need to be discussed, need to be understood before we get into sexual practices, unless, and let me put a big unless, a big caveat in here. There's nothing wrong, and because I've actually gone on dates with bisexual women. And so I've learned, believe it or not, that you can't assume just because someone's going out with you that they're necessarily the same sexual orientation as yourself. So, I think it's okay to say, by the way, just since we're talking about it or not, are you heterosexual or do you have any issue? You know, I don't think that's, given the state of the climate and where I live today, I don't think that's unfair. That's not smut. You know, that's just making sure you understand the ground rules, because I have been surprised on many occasions. So maybe that's what happens when you're just a simple Kentucky boy. Huh? I want to say one more thing about the discussing of sex. I have had a couple of female friends of mine say that they prefer to talk about, you know, sex. Hold on one second. Thought I heard something. So anyway, I've had some female friends of mine tell me that they prefer to talk about, or they have no problem talking about, you know, sex and sexual issues on the first conversation, and that they find it to be, it's easier to break the ice. So I guess under certain circumstances, if that's what you want to do, go for it. But it would never impress a man like me, and I would never be impressed. I don't know any women that I respect that would be impressed from some guy who wants to do that. Mind you, I am from the Midwest, and probably from a bit of a different era. To each his own, right? Okay. I just want to get that little disclaimer, because I know I'll get people who disagree with me. Okay. Kind of think of it. I can't remember talking about sex even when I was married. Just trying to crack that. Sorry. Assuming you don't really, really hit it off in the conversation, or you feel you need to get to know the person more, I think 20 minutes is a good amount of time for conversations. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, if you're very fortunate and you guys hit it off, that would be great. You talk as long as you need to, you know. I've heard of people talking 3 or 4 hours. In fact, my best friend from about 20 years ago, when he met his wife, they talked for their first phone conversation lasted all night long, 6 hours. So, but again, moving more to the average, 20 minutes and see how it feels. If you're getting tired or something, you know, that's okay. Just say, look, you know, can we talk another time? And if you really want to, there's nothing wrong with asking a person, would you like to talk again? Now, that may put some people on the spot, and they may say yes when they don't really think so. On the other hand, if you don't ask, you don't know. And if the person says, well, who would you like to call next time? You know, do you want me to call? Do you want you to call? Whatever. Get a feel for it. You know, some people are going to be a little more, they want to plan it out a little bit more if they have a busy schedule. You know, can you call me after 9:30, or can you call me, or I'll call you at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So, again, it depends on, it's a very individual thing. It really is individual, but typically speaking, I think it's good to plan at least another phone call, or if you hit it off, then let's plan a date, you know, let's get together. As far as how to ask someone if they want to go on a date, I don't know any men who say, would you like to go out on a date? I just don't think that's done anymore. Typically, you know, you would say something like, would you like to get together for coffee? Would you like to get together for coffee? Would you like to go down to the... I live close to the beach, so that's always a good one for me to use, to say, hey, you know, why don't we go down to the beach and hang out, or why don't we go to the beach and listen to some music? You know, depending... Whatever your area is, typically, you know, just say, would you like to? I don't think it's a good idea to be formal and say, would you like to go out on a date with me? I think coffee is a good way to break the ice for most people. Most women typically feel safer that way. I think guys do, too, in some way, at least less pressure in case it doesn't work out. You can have a cup of coffee and move on, or you can go to dinner afterwards or something else. So, you know, I think that's probably the best and easiest way to go about it. I think that pretty much covers that part of what we're talking about. So, you know, typically try to find out where you're going to go next and if you want to. Oh, and by the way, don't be offended or if someone says, well, you know, I've enjoyed talking to you, but maybe we should keep searching or something, you know, don't take it personally. There's so many people out there, and it's hard to get that mix just right, you know. Keep that in mind. It's never easy to make a connection. I want you to remember that. It's not easy for you, and it's not easy for the other person. And there's nothing wrong with telling someone that you're talking to that, you know, I'm a little nervous about this phone call, or if you're on a first date, you know, I'm a little nervous about being here. I think that we can cultivate loyalty in the struggle together, you know. And I know that some people want to come across as I'm, you know, self-assured and, you know, that they can handle it with no problem. I understand that need to, you know, maybe cover up. On the other hand, you may actually feel that way, in which case, more power to you. But most people don't. I think first dates, first phone calls, they're very difficult. We always are harder on ourselves and our judgment than others will be. Certainly, you know, people worry about the way they look, their weight, how they come across. So, we're all in this together. Keep that in mind, okay? And I hope this has helped you. The next part, part four, we'll talk about first dates. And that'll be a little bit more intense and a little bit more subject-driven in terms of what I think are good ideas to discuss on a first date. Again, going mostly from personal experience and from what I've seen over my lifetime. So I hope you stay tuned and we'll tune in for that. Anyway, so there you go. That's it for this week. My name is Mark Taylor. This is the Candle Shore Podcast. If you want to go to the main site for all things Candle Shore, you may go to www.candleshore.com. You can go to the blog where this podcast originates from at www.candleshoreblog.com. Or you can subscribe to the feed at feeds.feedburner.com/candleshore. Or, of course, you can send me an email. I'd love to hear from you at musicman@candleshore.com. Remember to make a joyful noise this week, and I'll see you back here next week. Bye-bye.